What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Real Bodybuilding Podcast. This is episode number 136, and I'm here with Urs Kalchinski. Tell me how to say it. Say it for me. So I don't want to mess it up.
Urs Kalchinski. Yeah,
you Urs did it. Urs Kalchinski. Yeah, okay. All right.
Say it perfect. What? Thanks for having me on, by the way.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. I always like to get the up and comers on and get people on and learn about them and have everybody else learn who doesn't know you yet. I mean, you have 150,000 followers, so you're a rising star. And I know last year you placed fourth at the Olympia.
Yeah, correct.
So I've heard a few things about you, and that was why I was excited to get you on. So Roman Fritz, who's a friend of mine on the podcast, said, you are the one who is going to take out Chris Bumstead. And I thought that was a really big deal to say that. So I'm like, who is this guy? So I kind of looked you up, and then I heard you used to be a skier and you're really young. How old are you?
I'm 23 right now. And yeah, Roman is a friend of mine. Yeah. I texted with him this morning. So maybe, yeah.
Is Roman saying that because you're friends, or is Roman saying that because it's an actual possibility?
Maybe it's a possibility, but I'm not a thinker, you know. I just work my ass off, and maybe we will get there. But Roman was the guy who said 2019, hey, next show you want to win the pro card. And then I did it. And he said before Tampa with 43 competitors in my class. Yeah. And in second place, Arnold Classics, like Steve Laurius, he said, yeah, you're going to win the Tampa Pro. And I'm like, yeah, okay, Roman, yeah. Chill. But yeah, we did it. So maybe...
You won the Tampa Pro.
Yeah, I won the Tampa Pro and qualified for the Olympia. It was my first pro season last year. So yeah, it was great. And sorry that I interrupted.
Okay,
you.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You said something about 150K on Instagram, but before last year, I had like 17 or 18,000.
Yeah,
I didn't give a shit about social media, and now it's so massive. And not only the German crowd, the international crowd. I had a guest appearance in Rio de Janeiro, and the Brazilians are crazy. And the Americans love the sport so much, and it's so cool to see because, yeah, in Germany, it's like a little subculture. I train in a basement gym, you know, in Berlin here, and it's not that big sport. And then I came to the US for the first time last year together with my brother after I took the second place in Mexico, Tijuana. Mm-hmm. So I was pissed off and I was like, hey, let's go to Tampa. And then I didn't know that Tampa is a big show, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So Roman
said to my brother, yeah.
So Roman's got a lot of bodybuilding knowledge. He's like an encyclopedia of bodybuilding. So when Roman says something, it's not like anybody else when they say something. So when he says you could be Mr. Olympia, That's a big deal to me. So I had to get you on and see. Now, I also heard you were a skier and you just kind of got into this. Like you said, you had 17 or 18,000 followers last year. Before I get into your previous history, I want to ask you, what is that like for somebody at your age coming up? Because I didn't have Instagram at 23 when I was bodybuilding. So when you're 17 or 18,000 followers and the next year you're 150, does that cloud your mind at all? Is it like build up hype in your own mind, or are you still the same guy and you're just doing the work?
I'm definitely still the guy and put in the work because I know that everything can take away from you very quickly, because my dad was a professional weightlifter back in the days and my mother was a ballerina. Maybe you heard about it, but yeah, they always told me, hey, if you're a professional athlete, you can get a hype, but the hype is only lasts as long as you're competing and winning shows and everything. So I'm very down to earth and try to be in this underdog mentality. You know, that's what I love. Only hard training and then go to the competition. And
do you still live with your parents?
No, I got my first time I left the parents' house was with 17 years old.
Okay.
And then I I moved to the next bigger city in Stuttgart. It's in Germany.
Yeah.
And yeah, from there on, I moved to Switzerland, and from Switzerland back to Stuttgart and then to Berlin. So since my 17th birthday, I'm not anymore with my parents.
Why did you move out so young? Was there something happened at home, or you just wanted to get out and see what the world was like?
Yeah, I want to get out. And I was like, okay, I want to live bodybuilding to the fullest.
Yeah.
And at home, yeah, I have two older brothers. It wasn't that perfect environment for a bodybuilding career. And I was very focused. I started competing with 16 years old. And from there on, I was 110% into the shit.
So this isn't a new thing, because I keep hearing this is new for you and you did other things and you just kind of jumped into this. But you're telling me you've been competing since you were 16.
Yeah, there are rumors about that I was a professional skier. Yes. And I'm like, what the fuck? If you see me on skis. So that's false, to be clear.
So I've said it twice already. It is bullshit. It doesn't mean-
100%. Imagine me on the ski.
So you probably went skiing for... Have you ever gone skiing at all?
On vacation, but I crashed 3 times and then I was like, okay, fuck the skiing.
This is hilarious. So I got all this bad
information. That's the internet. Welcome to the internet.
I guess I should research my guests before they come on. No,
Oh, that's so cool. Actually, I was a break dancer back in the days.
Were you really?
So, yeah.
How good
were you? You saw my Olympia routine?
No, I didn't actually. How good were you? How good of a breakdancer were you?
Yeah, I don't want to say I was as good as in the bodybuilding thing, but it was okay. I can do a head spin, a windmill, a flare, and
if you know that,
yeah.
Yeah, I do know that. One of my best friends in high school was really, really deep into breakdancing. So I know all this.
Yeah,
I don't know all the moves, but I know a lot of the moves.
I can send you some videos later. My first posing routine, I did a windmill.
No, on you
stage.
Didn't.
Yeah.
How did that go over?
The crowd was cool. It. Yeah, and I did the warm, you know, that like wave on the floor at the Olympia in my routine. And
so,
yeah.
Explain to
Orlando me. Orlando went crazy.
Explain to me when you started breakdancing. How did that come into your life?
Okay. So like I said before, my mother was a ballerina.
Yeah.
And I was the youngest of three boys. So she always wanna get the girl. And I was like, you was the same.
Can I tell you the funny thing? So my brother, I have three brothers that are older than me, and my sister is the oldest. So my brother, after me, my mom waited like 6 years, and my mom was like, I want to have a girl. Mm-hmm. So they tried to have another girl, and then they had me. So yeah. It's shitty luck.
We are like the same. I had long hairs back in the days, and maybe that's why I want to get checked and look like a bodybuilder, because of that ego problems from the childhood.
So no, go on. But, so your mom was a ballerina.
Yeah, right. And then I started to get into this dancing thing a little bit, but I was like, no, ballet, come on. And then I started with hip hop with 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
And then I saw breakdancers, and then I was like, yeah, the power moves, they're looking crazy. And yeah, I wanted to be I decided to be a breakdancer. And then after 2 or 3 years, I was a fat young boy, you know, and I wasn't able to do all the moves because I was overweighted. And then my breakdance coach gave me a sort of training regimen, and my oldest brother, who was a gymnast, a very, very good gymnast, a professional gymnast in Germany, he told me, okay, eat a little bit more protein, a little bit less carbs and everything. And then I started to train with him. And after my first training session, I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then I started to train with my oldest brother, who was my big inspiration. until this day, because he looked like, hey, he would be a crazy 212 guy.
Yeah.
Because yeah. he's not as tall, and he was too muscular for the gymnast thing, and then yeah, he let it go, and then I trained with him together, and yeah, after 3 or 4 years, you know, the funny thing is, back in the days, we went to the gym and we did every machine in the studio,
yeah,
one set all in, and then after that we go home and ate like 80 gram carbs a day to get shredded and that kind of shit. So, but it worked. I built up 30 pounds in my first year. Yeah. And we spent like 4 to 6 hours a day at the gym.
How much older was your brother than you?
He is
your oldest brother, sorry. Now.
Yeah, my oldest brother. He is 28 and I'm 23. So, yeah.
So I look at my older brothers like, you know, you're always, I think a lot of people that have older brothers are inspired by them. So do you think if your older brother wasn't into training, do you think you still would have got into it?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, maybe because of my dad, but my dad wasn't about bodybuilding, more like weightlifting. So maybe I would be a strong man or something, yeah, like powerlifter. But yeah.
You said you were fat, and I can't picture it. How fat were you? Were you just a little chubby, or were you like a fat kid? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I would say a fat kid.
Really?
Yeah. So not fat, but more than chubby. So I had like 20 kilos or 30 kilos too much because of my Pepsi and Haribo diet.
Yeah. Did you deal with it publicly at all? Like, did you deal with any like bullying or any shit like that because you were heavy?
Yeah, I was getting bullied all day, and I wanted to get some girls, you know, with 13, 14 years old, start, fuck, I'm fat, so I I don't get a girl. That was why I started to train, you know. And then with the breakdance moves, yeah.
The breakdancing plus to get the training.
Was, you're and I thought, yeah, then I can get every woman on this planet. But the only thing I got was boys around me, hey, what's your bench press and everything.
But the breakdancing had to help you a bit. When did you start getting girls? Like, when did it work? Did you start getting girls eventually?
Yeah, because at that time, my brother is a cool guy. He was a perfect older brother for me.
Is this the oldest or the one just above you?
The oldest. But the one above me is a really special person because he goes to every competition with me. But that's another point. My oldest brother was so cool because we trained hard and ate like 80 to 100 grams of carbs a day, mm-hmm, from Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
And on Friday, we popped a bottle of vodka, walked to the train station, and we go to party. Hopefully my mom don't hear that, because I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And he gave me his ID and took another one. Yeah. And then we go to the club and, yeah, had a great weekend, and then on Monday back in the gym.
So,
and then I learned to communicate with girls, and then from there on it was.
Did your brother really teach good. You how to communicate with girls, or did you use did you use the
imagine
dancing?
Yeah, I did the dancing and he did the talking, so yeah,
that's a good team we got there. Then you got both aspects. Yeah. Did your brother dance too or no?
No.
Okay.
He was at the barn. The smoking.
It's okay.
Area.
So you guys started training together. Why did you decide to move to Stuttgart and then after that to Switzerland? What was there that piqued your interest, mm-hmm, that made you want to move there?
First of all, because I want to get out of my home to learn a new environment and to raise up faster, you know.
Yeah.
Like have my own flat, my own little apartment, and then prepare all my meals. And at that time, I started with my PE teacher, is it called in the US,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
With that study, well, I started studying PE teaching, and then, yeah.
Is that what you want? Is that what you wanted to do? You want to be a like a phys ed teacher, a gym teacher?
Yeah, I was at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the school for kids.
Oh, you already were teaching.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay. Yeah, now I'm doing professional bodybuilding 100%. But for 2 years ago, I did teaching.
But when you moved to Stuttgart, what were you doing for work then?
I studied at the university.
Okay, but you didn't like. Were your parents were your parents taking care of the bills? Like, did your parents help you with your rent? And
yeah,
stuff like that?
we get like. A little bit money from the government when you are studying here in Germany, so
yeah,
and I didn't need that much money back in the days. I ate like tuna and rice all day. So we all know how to deal with that one.
We all been there. Yeah. So you got out. So you got out and you started studying. You got your own place, and you're still bodybuilding this entire time.
Yes, because
your first competition was a 16, you said.
Yeah.
Was that in Stuttgart or was that in your hometown?
That was the South German Championship. Yeah. So I did that one and placed fourth, and I was natural at that time, and it wasn't a natural contest. And then I'm like, okay, not bad for 20 other competitors. And then I did the nationals and placed sixth, and then I was like, okay, fuckers. Now I gotta train my ass off. And then 2018 I did my natural shows, and then I won the German natural, the Austrian natural show, and then I turned natural pro. And then I was like, yeah, okay, natural bodybuilding to get those 2.5 kilograms more, I need to train like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I decided to switch into classic, because that was the first year classic was introduced, I think. 2018. Yeah.
17 or 18.
Yeah, 17, 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did my first pro qualifier, won the pro card. Then I took another year off, and then,
when you saw classic, were you immediately drawn to it as, you know, your thing, or was it just because it fit your physique? Like, do you look at guys like Roman Fritz? Do you look at guys like, you know, Marcus Ruhl, like other German great bodybuilders? Mm-hmm. You look at them and think, you know, maybe I can be like them, or are you happy being the classic physique guy?
I always wanted to be a classic physique guy, because Flex Wheeler is my idol, so that's the best physique in the world for me. But he was an open guy, so never say never. Maybe the open guys are getting more into classic again, you know, because right now with all the mass monsters, I say it's not what I want to look like. That's not what I want to be. Because for me, the like Cedric McMillan back in the days, like, and Flex Wheeler, and from the modern days, bodybuilders with great lines.
When you look at guys like, because you said, you know, bodybuilding is changing now to more streamlined look, which I think it is too. When you look at guys like Samson Dauda or Regan Grimes or
Samson Raphael, is amazing.
Yeah, right. When you look
Raphael
at these,
as well.
When you look at those guys, are you like, oh, that means, you know, open bodybuilding can be appealing to you? You know what I mean? Because you're only 23. Like, I'm going to show people, for those people who don't know you, I'm just going to show your Instagram real quick. And if you're listening on audio, it's the.miraclebear. The.miraclebear is his Instagram. And I'm just going to show you here. This is you at the Olympia, standing next to Chris and Terrence and holding your own. But this is a really, really amazing shape at 23. And, you know, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm just imagining this physique with like 20 more pounds of muscle, and how crazy it could be by the time you're 27, 28 years old. You could really...
By the way, 15, I can get up 15 more pounds until my classic limit.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, what did you weigh here? What did you weigh here in this photo?
94 kilograms, so 210 or 209.
Yeah, so like if that's 210, I could only imagine what you would look like at 230, 240. Like it would be...
But Fuad, one question. Do you think, because if you see Samson and Raphael and everybody,
yeah,
they're getting destroyed by Nick Walker and Brandon Curry, you know? Yeah, to be honest, to judge the physique, Samson is a great guy. I love him. I talked to him at the EFL sure. last Prague. But... you know what I want to say? Because it's...
So I know
they all have great lines and great genetics and great physique. Mm-hmm. And I would see them in the front places. But there you have a Nick Walker, Brandon Curry, Big Ramy, and
are
the top guys.
I will say this, though. I think everybody is going to come into their own eventually. And depends how big they can get while keeping their lines. I mean, you look at somebody like Regan. If Regan can keep his lines, Regan has potential to be at the very, very top. There's no reason why Regan, with his insertions and his lines and the way his body looks and the way it's put together, there's no reason why Regan can't climb up to the top three, top two, even win the Mr. Olympia. So there, I think those lines can win if they can be big enough. But I do understand what you're saying. I mean, yes, Brandon Curry is still going to be the front runner. Big Ramy's still going to be the front runner, but I also think of things like Dennis Wolfe. You know, like Dennis Wolfe with a little bit better back could have won the Mr. Olympia. You know, I mean, his conditioning was a little off sometimes. His back wasn't the strongest out of the lineups. Mm. But had he been a little more complete, Dennis Wolfe could have won the Mr. Olympia. So Dennis Wolfe to me is a massive guy with good lines. So like I said, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I just, when I see a physique that's like yours, that's that well put together. And I've said this to Chris too, when I had him on the podcast, I always wonder what you guys would look like with that extra amount of weight. Like, would it be mind blowing to see, or would it change the way your physique looks? Are you scared of that too? Are you scared of putting on another 10 or 15 pounds for classic and changing the way your lines look?
You know, I would love to see a Chris at the actual shape. Yes. Right now in an open show.
Yeah.
It would be so cool just to for the people out there, because in Germany they say, the classic guy, the little baby, small one, you know. But then, you know, the stage is all about illusion. And
that's right.
Yeah. When you're on that stage and have great lines. So I think Chris could win a pro show in the open class.
But I think the same for you. I mean, it's funny that you say, like, you know, you talk about Flex Wheeler in 93, when he was winning pro shows against guys that were much bigger than him, he was only 220 pounds. Like Flex Wheeler back in the day when he was his absolute best, wasn't very heavy. So, you know, times have changed, but
there was no Nick Walker. You know, that's an open guy, Tim Budesheim from Germany.
Yeah, I know Tim. And
both in off season. So yeah.
Yeah. Very, very good physique, man. Everything's very, very well put together. I'm going to ask you again, though, real quick. And I don't want to belabor the point, and I'm not trying to turn this into like a drama show. I'm just curious. Do you think looking at this photo with Chris, do you think you could beat him with a couple more years?
Like I said at the beginning, I'm not the thinker, you know. Right now I'm getting the question, do you think you can win the Arnold? Can you think you can win Olympia? And potentially, yes, because I took the fourth place and I was close to Brion, and Brion won the Olympia. So I think in Classic there are a lot of guys who can potentially win, but yeah, I need time to get the improvements done, and then never say never. I think I can win.
What was
statement? Now the commentaries.
Yeah.
You little motherfucker.
No, I think people are rooting for you. You know, that's actually, it's interesting you said that. No, what was your time in Switzerland like? What'd you do there?
I worked in a gym.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Why?
Because it was a commercial gym and it was like, I'm like a robot and all I did was doing copy paste training plans and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I was so full with hate that I gave everything to get out of this. And it was in 2019 in the first season in the IFBB where I turned pro. And that was the hardest year of my life because I worked my ass off to get some money and then I worked my ass off to get in the condition to win a pro qualifier. And then at the end, for my last pro qualifier, the chef said to me, or the boss said to me, hey, you don't get any vacations anymore. Yeah. And I was like, mic drop, I'm out of this. And then I quit at the same day. I had no job. And then I went to the last pro qualifier and I won.
What job was it? What job were you working at that time?
At the gym.
That was at the gym?
Yeah, so, that was at gym.
So you're in Switzerland. You said you had a lot of hate. The hate was just like the hate for the gym? Like you hated your job
yeah,
so much?
Yeah, I hated the job, yeah. Okay. So I worked my ass off to get out of this situation.
And he's like, you can't have any more time off. So you just quit.
Yeah, I quit.
I like that. I like when I hear that kind of story. That was like, yeah. It's like,
that's my mentality, you know, fuck it. And
so you
because quit. Everybody says, hey, everybody told me in my life, hey, you can't get any money out of this. What are you doing? Your school is shitty and you just train. And I said like, hey, I believe that I can do it. And yeah, I had to work 10 years my butt off, but now in the 10th year of training.
Where are you living now?
Now in Berlin.
In Berlin.
Capital city of Germany.
Are you planning on, do you want to move to America at all and stay in America?
That's a possibility because I'm young and I'm open-minded about where I live.
Yeah.
So maybe I take my girlfriend with me and then we go there. What I planned is to go to the US this year for a bit longer. Yeah. Maybe visit Canada.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we can see us. So yeah, that's the plan. Because I love you, like I said before, I love the mentality and this. I came to the US the first time. We went straight to Walmart to buy some asparagus chicken and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was in Walmart for 3 hours for it. I was like, hey, look at this. Hey, this like a kid in the
candy store. Yeah.
Candy store. Yeah. Right. Hey, it was crazy. And
what were you looking at? Just all the different foods and shit.
Bro, you have like 40,000 Kellogg's. Only the thing with the Kellogg's and cereals.
Yeah.
It's like a German supermarket.
Yeah.
We have like rice, potato, chicken, beef, and that's it. You can't really cheat on your diet.
Yeah.
And there you have sugar-free super lemonade with L-carnitine boosted flavor drops. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And all of the bakery stuff and bagels. We don't have bagels here in the supermarket.
You don't have bagels there? I thought Germany was known for like bakeries and shit. You don't have bagels?
Yeah, we have pretzel. The bread,
that's
a typical, and bread and stuff, but no bagels. And the first thing, I got some salmon bagels, avocado, and this ranch dressing. What the fuck is ranch? If I was the earth with 13 or 14 years old, breakdance chubby guy, I was the fattest boy.
If you had ranch in the whole
US, if I had ranch and all that shit, hey, that's crazy.
So it's really. So it was the first time you had ranch.
Yeah,
and you loved it. It was like immediately you loved it.
It was love. Because the food is just great, and it's dangerous to be in the US post competition.
I love how after much
after the Olympia, we went to LA for 1 week, and
picked out
everything.
Everything. Yeah. See, I like that. You're like a food guy, like me. The guys, everybody watches the podcast knows I love food, so it's nice to meet another guy who appreciates food.
Appreciate. Food is great. Food is best.
So when you're dieting, when you're dieting for a show because you're a food guy, do you suffer like really, really badly, or does your mind switch off? Because I was always able to I really love food. People know that. But when I got ready for a show, as soon as I started prep, it was almost like I could flip a switch and not worry.
Switch off 100%.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is my body gets lean very, I get very, very lean and in a very hard condition with the muscle quality that everybody tells me. But I have to eat, like right now I'm eating 2000 calories.
Yeah.
90 minutes of cardio, you know, it's like suffering hard to get into the shape. But I can definitely switch the
Do you get heavy in the off season? Do you have a lot of cheat meals, or do you don't do that anymore? You try and stay leaner, or what's your approach in the off season?
It depends. You know, last year I dieted, or I was in contest prep from January to until after Olympia, December, November, October, December.
Yeah.
So after Olympia, I eat shit for 6 weeks straight. Then I had a that wasn't the best thing, but hey,
you got to get it out. I got to get out your system. Yeah.
And at the end, it was a good thing because Arnold's invited me and I had a rebound and I improved very, very much. I don't show my physique. That's another thing I want to talk about, but
sure.
Because
why not?
I trained with Yates, one year ago in Mabea.
Yeah.
And he told me, in this area, everybody puts this picture on Instagram and it's like, you can see how everybody looks before the show.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with him and he said, like, why you don't do the shadow mode?
Yeah.
And since Dorian Yates said that to me, I don't show my physique until the peak week. And then, because the cool thing is you can see the improvements from Olympia to Arnold's if I don't show my physique, you know.
Mm. I don't disagree with that strategy, but I think it's a lot harder to be the shadow nowadays.
Mm. Because it's way smarter to be not the shadow because of sponsors and everything, and then they talk more about you.
Yeah.
But hey, fuck it. At the end.
Well, no, but I mean, you got like at 23. I mean, listen, Dorian Yates is Dorian Yates, so you always got to listen to what Dorian Yates says. But at the same time, you're 23, so if I can shed a little bit of light, if you're gonna make yourself a brand in this industry, mm-hmm. I don't think you can be the shadow anymore, because the contrast is, in Dorian Yates' era, there was magazines and sponsorship contracts, and all you had to do was be a bodybuilder. Your salary and your exposure was 100% dependent on how you did on stage. And nowadays, your money doesn't come from magazines because there are none, and your sponsorship money comes from your exposure that you build for yourself. So if you try and hide away and you don't put out any content, then you're reducing how big your brand can get. So I just
I'm putting out content every week. I do like three or four YouTube videos and everything, but I only don't show the physique, you know?
Yeah.
Because we all know there are guys looking on Instagram 1 week out, like, what, he gonna win this? And then he shows up at the competition and you think, oh, what the fuck? He's so like 5 weeks out.
So your strategy is, I'm still gonna produce as much content as I can. I'm just not gonna show my physique. Okay, yeah, that works. Yeah. That's a good
only
strategy.
And only at the first competition, like the Arnold, if I do like three or four competitions after it, then I show my physique. But
sure.
I think that's a cool thing because the promoters and everybody, they put on live streams, etc., and nobody cares anymore about watching the competition, mm-hmm. only the hardcore fans. And then maybe I get some people invited to watch the pay-per-view, you know, and
no, buy I
the pay-per-view and support the bodybuilding. That's a cool thing because
I think it's a good idea.
We can do an Instagram competition nowadays because hey, nobody wants to see a real competition anymore.
Yeah.
Back in the days, you saw that the athletes once a year and at the Olympia, and there was a crazy hype in the stadium.
Okay, or as you've talked me into it, I agree with you.
Nowadays, everybody looks at their pre-judging. Oh, okay, Instagram here. Oh, okay, a new class. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, you understand what I want to talk.
You've talked me into it. You're 100% right. But the only caveat is that you're still producing content.
Yeah. Right?
So as long
without
as you're still
content.
Yeah, as long as you're still interacting with your fans.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, that way. Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. You're just saying, I want to reveal my physique at the right time. Yeah, I agree 100%. With that. That's a good idea. So speaking of the Arnold, is this after getting, well, first I want to get to the Olympia, your breakout. I mean, a lot of people talked about Nick Walker and his breakout year, but I mean, your first year at 23 years old, you won a pro show and took fourth at the Olympia.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal, man. So how does that feel like when you're done the year and you look back, or even when you got to the Olympia, were you nervous? Did you feel pressure? Did you feel comfortable when you got the first call out and you're standing with those guys? How does that feel?
Maybe you saw the little video clip. One day before the Olympia, I was at the expo and there was the Bang Girls dancing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm standing in front of them and shuffle a little bit to the music because I was so happy that I made it to the Olympia. Yeah. So I always have no pressure before competitions because I really love the time on stage.
Really?
Maybe because of the breakdance background, I had battles every weekend, and then I just love it on stage. Maybe I have this from my mom or from my dad or from both of them.
Yeah.
I'm like a really, really stage guy and love to do a great show, great posing routine. And I really enjoy this. So I was fucking excited for the Olympia. And I thought, like I said to my brother, hey, Kai, we did it. We're at the Olympia stage. So for every athlete, that's the biggest goal in life, you know, and then fuck it about the placing. So maybe we didn't get last. it was like that. And then we go to pre-judging. Okay, first call out. And then they say number 8. And then I'm like, okay, what? That's my number, right?
Yeah.
And then, okay, easy. Yeah, I knew I'm in the first call. And I was like this. Confidence mode on.
Yeah.
And then I saw, okay, it was a bigger first call out with 8 or 10 guys.
Yeah.
And then I was so crazy, top 10, okay. And then they did the last call out with only the top 5 with the names, you know, and it was like Terrence, Chris, Brian, and then Urs. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Urs? That's me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, I knew I'm in the top 5. No, so it was so great. And then, to see all the people.
That's a...
supporting you and I was like, okay, I'm fucking 23 years old, I'm the youngest guy in this lineup, I need my time to get a better quality, blah blah blah, everybody, every trainer and everyone says that to you, you need to time to pick up some weight, and I'm like, you know what, I just train twice as hard as them and then I get
put on the
faster
weight,
over there, so
man.
Yeah,
but that's a major, you know, after looking at my career and seeing other people that I know that are good but have trouble, that's a major quality to have, to not have any pressure. Like the mindset, the mindset of a competitor is just as big as the physical attributes that a competitor has. True. And if you can walk on stage with no pressure, that's, it makes you that much better as a competitor. So it's
because the other athletes always tell me, hey, the night before the show, I can't sleep. I have to take some sleep pills. And I was like, what the fuck? The night before the show, I got my carb up, I go to sleep, and I'm sleeping 8 hours straight, then wake up to get like a on the toilet. And then I wake up and I'm like, hey, it's show day, let's go. Last layer of tanning, getting ready, and then rock it. So,
but I don't, but it's surprising to me that you don't feel any pressure, because it's one thing to do, let's say you're doing like a breakdance battle or whatever, and you're 15 years old or 14 years old. There's nothing on the line, it's just fun, right? But you're at the Olympia level, there's money on the line, there's stature, there's all that. Do you think about any of that, or are you just still having fun? You don't care.
I still have fun because, you know, I love this shit. Like I love breakdance back in the days. And yeah, for me, the German championship in breakdance was like the same event. Level. Yeah. Back in the days, you know, it was like the major, the biggest show in Germany. And I wasn't nervous at all. I'm just happy because, hey, we work our ass off for 12 to 16 weeks. We suffer, we diet hard. And then I see athletes with face like that. Oh, another comparison, another fuck. Oh, I'm dying. I can't even flex anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? My body is cramping, but let's go another round because maybe I get some water out of the system and look even drier. So, yeah, I think bodybuilding, if you want to get big and look swollen in the gym, so that's okay. But bodybuilding is another sport. It's like a presentation sport. It's more than that, you know. And if you don't love it, then it's not the right thing for you.
But I think that's actually an interesting point that you mentioned, because a lot of guys, including myself, and I've spoken to Branch Warren about this, and guys that have achieved very, very great status in the sport, like Branch, for example, that don't always, you know, Evan Senapani comes to mind also. Cedric McMillan comes to mind. They don't love the showman, the entertainment portion of bodybuilding. They love the training. They love building their physique. They love sculpting the physique a certain way. But the actual getting on stage is not really their thing. So it's interesting. You're not introverted at all. Like socially, are you like a social person? You like to get out, you like to party,
So I'm very social. So, but that's the cool thing, Fuad, because that's the character of everybody. Like you have the characters in the wrestling scene, like an Undertaker, the Death Man. And so that's the same thing in bodybuilding. And that's cool to see, because you have a Kai Greene, like I'm posing, and then you have an Branch Warren who's in the Metroflex gym killing it with... fucking heavy weights and by himself. And then there you have the different characters in the sport, and that's a cool thing, because if everybody would be the same, you know what I want to say.
Do you think about money at all? I mean, the Arnolds this year is giving away the biggest prize money ever for Classic. I think it's $80,000. Do you think about money 60. At all? Oh, is it 60?
60, yeah.
Do you think about money in your career at all, and sponsorship money and all that? Has that come into play? Are you still so young and new that you're just still having, like, money's not really a thing for you? Like, it's not something you really consider?
I have to think about it. Right now, my mother lost her ballet school through COVID and everything, you know. But it's... it's part of life, and now I have to earn more money to feed my family, to say that. And I live with my girlfriend and everything, so money definitely plays a huge role in life, like in everybody's life. Mm-hmm. So I'm I'm now at this point where I say, okay, money definitely is important in this game, because hey, maybe I have only two or three good years, and after that nobody wanna even talk about me or something like that. So right now, and I'm thankful for my girlfriend, because she's like, hey, you need better contracts, you need better this and that, and I do my own merchandise now and everything, you know.
Nice.
And yeah, that's a cool thing and a chance. Yeah. And when you say, hey, I'm self-employed now, then you have to work your ass off.
I'm just gonna.
You are the best motivation for that, you know.
Thank you.
You did a great career in bodybuilding, turned professional, and then you build up your own brand. That's crazy, and yeah. I think not everybody out there knows how much work it is, and how much time you spend into that, and you're still doing what you love, you know.
Yeah.
You're not in a 9-to-5 job.
I want to show everybody. I like to kind of give you guys a little bit of spotlight on what you're doing. I just noticed that here is your Instagram page. So if you want to get Urs's brand wear, it's called miracleware_ on Instagram. If you're listening on audio, it's miracleware_. And I didn't even know this yet. You had your own clothing line. So there's some shirts here. You have a couple weight belts. What's this shirt?
Yeah, set? Exactly.
Oh, this is just you, the Miracle Bear with the German flag. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, that's the new one out there. The Arnold bundle is up there with the poster.
Oh, that's cool.
The autograph card and then the shirt.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, and that's a little baby for my girlfriend and I. And maybe it gets bigger and you have to start somewhere. So it's a cool thing.
What is how long have you been with your girlfriend?
3 years right now.
3 years. Yeah. And how much of a help and how much does she have to withstand when you're dieting? Like, do you get moody? Do you get cranky? Does she have to deal with a lot of your shit? Does she cook your food? Like, what's life like at home with the girlfriend?
It's crazy because she is not into the sport, you know, she's not an athlete or something.
Yeah.
But she understands the sport perfect, and that's why, because yeah, that's why she's a perfect match for me, because I thought, like, I think a lot of athletes out there, hey, I don't find the right girlfriend because I'm fucked up in my brain. I only want to train, eat and sleep, and yeah, it's not normal to go to the gym 6 times a week and measuring out food and everything. So she understood it from day one, and to see that is great. And of course we have sometimes trouble with the contest prep, but I think if you survive one contest prep together, then she's the right one.
It's funny, we have the same situation. My wife is involved in the sport. Like, she used to work for Muscle Tech back in the day when I met her. So she knew all about it, but she's not a competitor herself. So we kind of like meshed well because she knew all the shit I had to go through.
Cool.
But,
that's what my dad always said, because my parents split apart when I was very young, 6 years old, you know, and I raised up by my mother. So he always said, boy, Urs, don't get with another athlete, because two athletes at home that's deadly, because you're in your own ego, especially in the time when you're on contest prep, and two of those, I know
like that. I know a couple of people that do it, you know, like John Jewett and his wife do it very
John Jewett, yeah,
very successfully.
It's crazy. Ian. And John is coaching his own wife.
I know. I thought that too. He told me crazy, he's coaching, right? I'm like, that's dangerous.
Yeah, I lied. I was backstage at the Tampa with both of them.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about it. And I was like, hey, no way. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then there's, you know, Ian and Melissa do it well. So it can be done. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you that it's hard, because I think when you're in prep, you want the focus on you. And if two people are prepping and each person's trying to take focus, then it becomes a little bit, it becomes tougher. So, so 3 years together, does she have, I've always wondered this question. Does she have any issue with women hitting on you and stuff, or like, you know, because with your placing, because, you know, you get attention from other women, you get attention from fitness girls and stuff like that. Does your girlfriend brush that off, or is it ever a source of issue at home?
Yeah, it was an issue at the beginning days, you know, but then she understood. I'm like, hey, if you have the right woman, so fuck the other girls. It's only, you know, you don't need that shit. A real woman is much more worth it than 10 other hot girls and what the fuck in a bikini. So, it's temporary. It's like fun. And then after it, you're alone, you have nothing. And it's way better to see like she's improving through the, with me together. And we build up a brand together. We build up a cool life together. And that's a cool thing. Maybe I think about that because my parents are split apart when I was young.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best best situation at home and stuff, but I definitely want to do this like that.
did you see your dad a lot? Like, did you go back and forth between your parents a lot, or were you mostly just with your mom?
I was mostly with my mom, and then I saw my dad once a week or something, and then because he's a physiotherapist, I was at his place two times a week back in the days when I lived in Stuttgart. So yeah, definitely more time with my mom, but right now I don't see both of them very often. But that's part of life, and I try to spend some quality time with them when I'm at home. So
yeah,
that's cool. All boys together, all family together. My mother's doing so much food because I have a Polish background. Did you ever eat Polish food?
Kielbasa. I like kielbasa.
Kielbasa. Yeah. I bring you some kielbasa and some żurek and some pierogi.
Yeah, pierogis are good too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You're gonna love it.
I like all food, so I'll try anything.
Nice. So we need a schnitzel.
So the Arnold's coming up. You're 5 weeks out, or just under 5 weeks out.
Yeah.
How is the prep gone? I just want to talk about it briefly before we go. How is your prep gone? I know you have another appointment.
Yeah, no problem.
But I want to talk about how your prep is going, and
4.5 weeks out exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I'm so happy I would eat nails right now, because now it's the time. Yeah, now it's the time. I like all in, you know. It's 4.5 weeks out. I'm happy with the condition, and the weight is dropping as well. So I'm fucking motivated, and try to kill every workout. And it's the first Arnold Classics for me, so it's
a big deal.
Crazy to be on that stage with 8 or 9 other guys, be one of them. And right now it's great.
Do you want to meet Arnold? Is that like, do you think about that? Do you think about winning and like getting the trophy from Arnold and shaking his hand? Do you think about that?
Yeah, every night. No, but I often think about that, and I work my ass off to let that become reality.
Yeah. So you have, you know, obviously Terrence is doing the show. Terrence has won the show last year, I think. Mm-hmm. Breon's doing the show, and you have Ramon doing the show. I'm not sure any other big names. I know those three are doing the show, and they were in the top five at the Olympia. So you beat Ramon. And Terrence and Breon were ahead of you. Do you think you've done enough this offseason to be able to pull ahead of them?
The 6 weeks of eating crap in LA definitely worked out. The in and out pumps gave me. No, I did the recovery phase, and then I still put on so good muscle quality and good muscles, and I think I improved. But I did major improvements from Olympia to the Arnold. So We will see.
So are people, so we should expect a different look.
Yeah.
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 How much more weight, how much more weight do you think you put on? 3-4 pounds, 5 pounds, maybe?
3-4 pounds, yeah. But I try to get even more crispier, even more in the, yeah, the craziest condition you're ever gonna see for me. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I had the baby skin problems.
Yeah.
Always, because I worked so hard to get fucking shredded in condition, but always my skin was like, yeah, okay, you're a fat young boy, you're 23 years old. And I think in the last 10 to 16 weeks, it clicked. And after Olympia, my skin wasn't getting that fat again, that crazy texture skin. But now,
so you're looking for that graininess. You're saying you have that graininess to your skin
now. Yeah. Now it's definitely much more grainier, and I look like 5 weeks out for the Arnolds, I look like better than 2 weeks before the Olympia. So it's very, very cool to see that the hard work really pays off, and that not the skin give me a
What do you think was the change? Is it just time? You just took time to keep growing, or did you do something different?
I think because I stayed very lean the year round.
Yeah.
Normally I have like, normally I have like 30 pounds more than stage weight.
Yeah.
And I think that staying in shape, staying lean the year round, it's very beneficial for that and for the muscle quality and the skin texture.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell me does anybody coach you, or do you do your own diet?
Yeah, Stefan Kienzel, it's like Boss of Outlaw on Instagram. He coaches me. He coaches Wesley Wizards as well, and the Brazilian guy in men's physique, Diogo Montenegro. He took the third place at the Olympia.
Okay.
So yeah,
it worked. What is his program like? Is it more low fats, higher carbs, or is it like what does your prep look like?
Right now it's like low carbs, low fats, and high protein and 90 minutes cardio. 90 minutes cardio split in three sessions, and I'm on the high intensity approach. I do two working sets and train with high intensity, relatively low volume. Maybe I throw in some intensifiers, drop sets, supersets, rest pause sets. It works very great for me. And since especially this year or after Olympia, I'm like, Justin Shire, I heard the podcast with him.
Yeah.
And he's like an perfect Mr. Perfect Execution. I really worked on the execution point and let the ego, especially for my back at home. That was a major accomplishment and helped me to get so much better, because before that I was like 180 kilos on the t-bar, Ronnie style, like drawing everything into my biceps and don't hit the muscle I want to target. And since that, I really found my way to improve my physique, and that's a cool thing, because normally when you're 23 years old, you're training like let's do more deadlifts things. So
you said you're doing 90 minutes of cardio three times a day, so you have a split 30 in the morning, 30 post workout, 30 the night before bed, or how do you do it?
45 fasted in the morning, 20 post workout, and then 25 before my last meal. It's cool because of the cortisol management,
That's a good idea. So we went over diet, training, everything's ready, you're ready for the show, you're excited.
Fucking excited.
Only question I want to ask you is this. The common theme, I think, that people think is that open class bodybuilders work the hardest, then classic, then men's physique. But I don't know if I believe that. Your training, you're like, when you look at it, like step back and look at it overall for the whole year, is it just as hard as open class? Like, are you still 365, you know, 24/7, 365, or are there more days you can take off or more things you can relax about when you're classic?
No, I train my ass off all year round, and I love it. You know, it's not that somebody say, hey, you have to train like this. I love this shit, and we all love the training. I think the diet is the hard part for a professional guy.
Yeah,
you know, I see you doing the Floyd Mayweather program right now, and you're punching back. No, but you're still into the training, right?
Yeah, and I love it. Yeah,
you love it since years, and that's same point for me. And maybe in 20 years I'm as big as an open guy, but I think there are in all classes in men's physique as well, guys, they're working hard, and it's a genetic thing, you know.
Yeah,
it's like my brother with the gymnasts. He did like 10 pull-ups and grew like weed. And other guys, look like more men's physique guys, but
I think guys think of it. I think open class guys think of it like this. If you're already close to your weight cap, then maybe you don't have to train as hard because you're already at your weight cap. You know what I mean? So I think that's why some guys look at it that way. But when I look at it, I think a lot of you guys aren't really maxed out. Like you said, you're still 15 pounds away from your weight cap. So there's no reason for you to let up on your training.
And I still think it's not about the weight, because you can make huge improvements with the same weight.
Yeah.
We all know that you have maybe the same weight as at the other competition, but you have a
more different look.
More detailed, more whatever. And so I always make sure that I work hard. And I think there are people out there, because I trained with a lot of open guys, and sometimes I was like, what the fuck? he trains like a little princess. And then
name that who are you talking about? Tell me. I'm just joking, you don't have to say
it. It's not Roman. Roman trains.
No, Roman's insane. Urs, listen, man, I had a good time talking to you. I appreciate you making the time to come on. Is there anybody you want to thank, or any message you want to put out, or anything you want to say before we go for today?
First of all, I want to thank you for the time and put me on the show.
Of course.
In Germany, it's very popular, and all over the world. I love your podcast, and I hope the guys enjoyed it out there, and girls. And maybe I'm back. And for all of you guys, just... fuck what other people think about you, especially when you're young, like 17, 18, or in my age. So if everyone says to you, hey, you can't achieve something, fuck it. If you work hard, you can achieve it. And I think, if you love something, then go for it. You can make a business out of it. Age is just a number. Fuck it. So let's go.
That's a good message.
Let's work.
Yeah,
that's what I want to say, because so much younger people are shy out there. And if someone, if two friends saying, hey, no, you can't do this or that, they stop with it. And I know there are a lot of guys out there who really love something, you know, really love drawing or singing or what the fuck, but they don't want to get bullied from that or something like this. Then if you are at the point where you earn money out of it, everybody says, cool, we all do it.
True. And it's,
you know?
It's true.
And that's what that's the message what I want to spread with all of you guys out there. So,
yeah, it's a great message, man. Urs, listen, you're a great dude. I wish you luck in a few weeks. I hope you do awesome at the Arnolds. I'll be there commentating. So cool. Make sure to say some good stuff about you, and I get to watch you on stage.
If not, no. No, great.
Yeah, man, it's cool. It's gonna be good. Looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
I'm excited.
Okay, man.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Easy. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching. Please subscribe, share with your friends, and like the video. And if you get a chance, check out the description for all the different links to all the different places you can find Hostile and myself. And lastly, check out hostile.com for our new line of supplements and all of our apparel and gear. Thanks again for watching.